You've mentioned in this article that you've written recently that there is a decrease of the imprisonment rate for the first time in the last 7 years. How significant of a change should we interpret this 1% decrease as?
Well, 1%, it's not a lot, of course. And in actual numbers, there was a small increase, like about 55 persons more than the same day last year. But if you count them out of 100 adults in Australia, then there was a small decrease. It's not really significant overall, but I think the most important thing is that there is a break in the trend. We are used year after year that our imprisonment rate is going up. And this year, it didn't happen. The other thing is that this trend is more outspoken with some subgroups that we have been particularly concerned about the last couple of years, and that is women in general, and more particularly Indigenous women. There we really see a quite significant decrease of their imprisonment rate. Still far too many, and they're still far too overrepresented, but it might be a good sign that we actually get a bit of a U-turn there in imprisoning women and Indigenous women in particular.
Mm. As you say, I mean, I've got the numbers here that you've been speaking of, a decrease of 5% amongst the female imprisonment rate and a decrease of 11% over the last year amongst Indigenous women, although they are still the fastest growing subgroup in the prison population.
They are. Over the last decade, let's say, the proportion of women in the prison population is growing the fastest. It's still only like about 8% of the total prison population, but they are increasing at a lot faster rate than all other subgroups.
Do we have an indication of how this decrease or these decreases in different populations has come about, how this decrease has come about?
Well, the most logic explanation would be that there's a decrease in crime. But then that can't really explain it, because that decrease in crime has been going on for the last two decades while our imprisonment population was increasing. So there is definitely a decrease in crime, but there must be more than that. It's maybe early days to see what is happening. But in a recent article, there was the emphasis that a lot might have to do with policing and where police put their priorities. So we will see that policing is now more focused on acts intended to cause violence and also sexual offences. But then we have changes in other crimes like burglary, robbery. There's not that much to steal these days anymore. There's a lot more protection. And also, we don't carry that many valuables with us anymore. Everything is in our phone now. Before, we had car radios, we had cameras, we had all these things that were stealable, and they're not there anymore. So, I mean, it's the whole situation that is changing. And it's also been on policies that have always been quite strongly focused on law and order in Australia, but it seems to be weathering away a bit as well, because people have more important issues. There's the economic problems, there's employment, and it might be that crime and justice is a little bit less on the political agenda than it used to be.
Mm. In terms, you mentioned, of course, the policies we're employing here in Australia. In terms of the overarching global trends, how does Australia compare?
We are quite punitive from a global perspective. So looking at penal cultures, we are mainly put in the basket of Anglo-Saxon countries. And our imprisonment rate, as you said, it's about 200 out of 100,000 adults. That is about, New Zealand is a bit higher than we are, the UK is a bit lower, Canada is quite a bit lower. If you then look at continental European countries, their imprisonment rate is like about 100, which is kind of half as many people as we put in prison. And if you look at Scandinavian countries, their imprisonment rate is a lot lower. So in a global perspective, we're still quite a punitive country when it comes to imprisonment rate.
And as we mentioned before, these statistics are following from June to June. So to really understand this, if it is a trend, if it does have some factors we can understand, we can wrap our heads around behind it, will we need to wait on the numbers from June 2019 to June 2020 to kind of see how this is playing out? Will we need to wait for those numbers there?
Yeah, absolutely, because this is just a one-off day, which was the 30th of June. You have another set of data also from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, where they're actually looking at, on a monthly basis, how many people are coming into the prison. And unfortunately, that number is not going down, particularly not for Indigenous people. So we're not sure what we're looking at. It might be a quicker turnover, that a lot of people come in, serve very short sentences, are just on remand while they're waiting for their trial. And then they, after a couple of weeks or a couple of months, they go out of prison again. Well, these ones you won't have on one cut-off date. Then you mainly catch the people that spend longer terms in imprisonment. So, but if they have a growing influx in the prison, then it is possible that this trend is not very stable. So we have to have a look at that as well. And I mean, even if the people are serving shorter sentences in the prison, that is not necessarily a good thing, because imprisonment can do a lot of damage to people's employment and housing and social networks in a very short period of time. So we will have to see if this trend is continuing. It might be a positive change, but it's too early to say that.
Mm. Well, Hilda, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks for having me.